Hey, if you need a copy of today's sermon notes, I know I forgot to hit print. Raise your hand. The ushers will bring a copy by to you. And as you're waiting for the sermon notes, they're very simple this morning, but I want you to see, we're going to open up into the book of Colossians, and we're going to be talking about how the church should be and how the church can be absolutely assured of the supremacy of Christ. I want you to see this. We're going to celebrate Jesus over the next few weeks, beginning in the book of Colossians. I think I shared with some of you whenever I was at a pastor's conference, the pastor said, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, and I couldn't find the book of Colossians. Somehow I had a mental breakdown. I knew it was in the New Testament. I could go through the books of the Bible and say it, but I just absolutely couldn't open my Bible to the book of Colossians. So Colossians is not a book that we referenced it last week, or excuse me, a couple weeks ago, but we didn't have an opportunity to read in the book of Colossians. So Colossians chapter 1, we'll pass these around. Sermon notes coming by. Celebrate Christ our Savior. I want you to, we're going to go into a series of celebrations that we're going to be celebrating Jesus Christ. We can celebrate knowing that we know that we know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. All right, keep your hand up. We got a couple more right there in the middle. And how about this way? A couple right here. A few over here. One, two, three, four, five, five. Jacob's right behind you. He's coming down he's filling up the youth row. That's good to see. Youth, don't draw pictures. Tell me what the sermon's about at the end. I'm just kidding. Hey, aren't you proud of our youth? Let's give them a round of applause again. I know that our youth went up to the Centrifuge, came back, had a great time. And spiritual encounters, that's what we pray for. Don't we always, have you ever been to youth camp ever in your life? Raise your hand if you've ever been as a chaperone or as a youth. When you come back, you're renewed, you're on this level here, and we wonder, wow, I wish we could just stay here all the time. You ever felt that feeling? I just wish we could have this mountaintop experience, and I wish we could stay there all the time. But unfortunately, we have this world to deal with. The Bible says this world has troubles, right? Troubles of its own. And we live in this world, so we know as humans, we're going to have a hard time in this world just for being humans, just because Adam and Eve sinned, we're going to have a hard time. But on top of that, we know that if we're Christians, the Bible says, Jesus told his disciples, listen, I want to tell you something. If they hated me, they're going to hate you as well. Remember, they hated me first, so being a human is hard. Being a human that's a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, is even harder in this world because the world system, the devil and his ways, and even our flesh, wars against the Spirit of God saying, go this way, don't go that way. Don't follow Jesus Christ. Follow Jesus plus something extra. Let's just do Jesus plus something. And this is what the church of Colossae was facing. Paul's writing to them, and you see the introduction I wrote there for you. Apostle Paul, we believe, is in prison in Rome. Some would argue about where he is, if he's in Ephesus, or we believe he's in Rome. And he's writing to this church that we, most people understand, that Paul never met. He met them through their pastor. We're going to see their pastor in verse 7 and 8. We'll see in just a moment. He meets them through their pastor. The pastor traveled over some thousand miles just to go talk with Paul. What's happening in the church is this is a Bible-believing, preaching, teaching church. But what's happening is it's a Gentile area. There's very much a Greek influence. There's very much a small Jewish influence there. The Jews are saying you must keep the law and be accepting Jesus. You must do both. You must be circumcised and you must follow Jesus. And then there's other philosophers and the Gnostics, you know, the knowledge, people who have knowledge who just spill off their knowledge over and over again. They haven't developed yet, but they're on their way. This is their philosophy beginning, saying you must have Jesus, plus you must have all these other things and these deep things. You ever heard someone speak that they actually thinks they're very smart? They actually just speak and they philosophize over and over and over again, and they say nothing by saying a lot of words. You ever heard those kind of people? This is what's happening in the church of the Colossian church here is happening. There's these people who are coming in and saying, Jesus, yes, but Jesus plus, 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 plus. They keep adding to Jesus. Paul's writing them, and he's going to encourage them today, and I want you to see this from the Word of God. And I just broke it down in three truths just in the beginning because we have a lot to catch up with over the next couple weeks. Make sure that you don't miss the next couple weeks, or if you do miss, get the notes, and I'll give you the printed notes with the fill in the blanks. But I want you to see this because, I know, and read ahead. We'll be through Colossians. This week is Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Next week's going to be Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through, let's see where we're going to go next week. Make my notes. Probably around 9 through 20. Just read the whole book. You can have the book read that quick. So, I want you to see in the Word of God, before we even begin today, it's Jesus plus nothing. Amen? Jesus is supreme. Listen, there's the supremacy of God is Jesus plus nothing. Jesus says you must come to that place where you believe in him, you put your full trust in him, But that's it. You don't need anything else. Even water baptism is something that we actually do because we're obedient to Jesus Christ. Some churches just not even a mile and a half from here will teach you you must give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, and you must be baptized immediately. Otherwise, the salvation doesn't take. They believe that actually water baptism is part of salvation. I just want you to understand, the Word of God is very clear that water baptism is simply being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, showing that his death, burial, and resurrection has happened in your life, that you have a new life in Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand, if you die with knowing that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to go to heaven based on the Word of God. Amen? Baptism is obedience. It's an obedience factor of following through what Jesus said to do. And he'll open up your spiritual life. He'll open up your spiritual knowledge when you follow his obedience, right? When you're obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus says do it, guess what you should do? Do it. If God says don't do it, guess what? Don't do it. Is that hard to live? Yes, because by nature we're rebellious. Our hearts are rebellious and are evil. If God's word says don't do it, we want to do it. And if God's word says do it, we don't want to do it. Should we read our Bible daily? Do we do it daily, every day, every day? Some would say yes, some would say no. Do we pray? Should we pray regularly? Yes. Do we pray every moment? Like when the Bible says pray without ceasing, do we pray like that? Some would say yes, some would say no. We understand. We say, well, these aren't rules I have to check off. That's not what God's saying. God's telling us how to live the Christian life. It's not a life of rules. Oh, get that one done, get that one done. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. So watch what he's writing to the church here at Colossae. This is in Turkey. If you ever look at a map, this is actually modern-day Turkey to the south, I would guess, the southwest of Turkey, if you look and see it on a map today. So this is actually the Laodicea, the Church of Laodicea in Revelation that you read about. It's nearby. So we believe this preacher, most scholars believe this preacher actually planted these churches or helped plant these churches that Paul is involved in now. He's writing on the authority of his apostleship. And his apostleship came from where? Jesus Christ directly. He got his apostleship directly from Jesus Christ. Now, let me clarify this before we get into the text. Are there apostles today? Well, the word apostle, the capital A apostle, sent by Jesus, there's no apostles today. But many people are claiming the title apostle. And apostle just simply means one sent on a mission or one sent one. That's what the word apostle, actually, the actual word means. So and technically, there are people who are still being sent today, right? We don't call them apostles today. What do we call them? Missionaries. So we understand the word apostle means the sent one or the one sent on mission. So there are apostles, if we want to be technical, being sent today. Small letter A's being sent out. Missionaries today being sent out. So it's best not to use that word. Some preachers and some even, there's a lot of people who are using the title capital A apostle of God today, meaning that they're actually trying, some people are trying to resurrect the actual office of apostleship, where they actually show signs and miracles. That's what several things had to happen if you were an apostle. You had to see the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You had to perform miracles. You had to come to the place where you actually saw Jesus' miracles and you actually were able to perform miracles or healings. You had to do those things. And some people are claiming that title today, saying they have that power. And I want to tell you, listen, run far, far from those people, because the Bible says in the latter days, many are going to say that they're actually apostles, that they actually follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're deceivers. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. So if you hear someone today saying they're actually raising people from the dead, listen, don't even go see it. It's not happening. And to the point, can God miraculously heal today? Absolutely. Does he still heal? Some in this church have been healed miraculously by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? So God still does it. But if a man walks around and says, I have the power to heal, or he waves his jacket over people and they fall down, I'm telling you, don't believe it for one moment. He's a deceiver. He's leading you far from Christ, not to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, listen, there's somebody in town. I've told you, I went to his office, and I said, listen, if you can do all the healing that you said you can do, let's go to the University Hospital, let's go to Aiken Hospital, and let's clear out the fifth floor. Let's just go put doctors all out of business. Let's just clear the fifth floor. You know, I've told you this before. Go show that you can actually have the authority of God and heal someone that actually is sick, that's got a death sentence. Go heal that person. And he says, you don't understand. It's by faith that they're healed. I said, I understand it's by faith that we're healed through the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to understand today, when someone comes up and says, I will come and pray for you for a small fee. You understand what's happening? It's a business. And guys, listen, it's Jesus and Jesus alone today that we need to be saved. And listen, when God shows you something, he tells you to do something, you better do it. And he might tell you to go call on the elders of the church to pray for you and anoint you with oil that you might be healed. He might tell you to do that very thing. And when you do, and when you're obedient, and the elders of the church are obedient, guess what happens? God is glorified. We don't get any credit for the healings that's happening in this church. Don't come to me. I have no idea. I'm scared to death, right? Because my faith is exercised whenever someone comes and says, Pastor, I want to be anointed with oil. I want the elders to come and anoint me with oil, and I want you to pray for me. Well, James says we have to confess our sins to one another first. Let's talk about it. Is there any sin in your life, in my life? We have to talk about that. And then I have to exercise faith by anointing. What kind of oil do you use? The Bible didn't tell us. We went to the kitchen and got olive oil, right? Is this virgin olive oil? Or is, you know, what do you use? Motor oil? It doesn't say what to use. We just assumed olive oil because, and you can buy, even Lifeway, as bad as I hate it, Lifeway is selling anointing oil now. Listen, olive oil, motor oil, I don't care, Crisco, I don't care what it is. Listen, if it's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if he's told you to do it and you do it, listen, by faith in him. He said to do it. I don't understand it. I'm just going to do what he said to do. He didn't say how to do it. He said do it. Do you make a cross on the person's forehead? Do you dump the oil all over their head? We know in the biblical ways they would anoint, a king was anointed by pouring oil and fragrance over their head. But what do? In the New Testament, James just says, do it. And we're like, okay, here, this is, okay, let's take the text. I want you to read with me real quick, James chapter 5. Go here. Has nothing to do with today's sermon. I want you to, listen, God might be calling some of you men into the ministry, and listen, God might call some of you that are sick to be healed. This is what he says, and I'm telling you, I still don't know how to do this. But the person that was healed, the last one that was healed, and we did have one that came for healing, and his heart was so twisted and, I don't know the right word, I'm not confessing my sins. I got nothing to say to y'all. He was very, very, very much into himself. He did not receive the healing, and he no longer is a member of our church. He's left because he came with arrogance that God said to do it, and God better do it. It wasn't through faith. It was trying to bully God. And God will not be bullied. Amen? Because he's God and you're not, and I'm not. But watch what it says in James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Answer is yes. My back's killing me, right? But God hadn't told me to go to the elders of the church yet. All right. Let him pray. Is anyone among you cheerful? Okay, we are. Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Answer is yes. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. We know how to do that, right? In faith. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And he talks about Elijah. He throws back to the Old Testament. He doesn't say how to do it. He says, do it. Pray and anoint. Confess your sins to one another. Get right with God. Express your faith in God. And then watch God do the work. And guess what? I stand here today to tell you God has worked in this church. And all glory goes to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Not me, not anybody, not even the person that was healed. Saying their faith was great, therefore they were healed. I'm telling you, healing comes by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ alone. Everything that we do, everything that we are, is by Jesus Christ alone. Now, let's go back to Colossians, text for today. Truth number one, I want to read it, and I want to read the text, and I'll read the truth. Starts out like this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the what? Will of God. You ever want to do the will of God? Remember, it's not what's God's will for my life, but what is the will of God? I always ask that question in college, in high school, in middle school, elementary school, wherever you might be, in work, wherever it is, what is the will of God? Not what is God's will for me. What is the will of God? Because God's will is always happening. Just like a river flowing, God's will is always happening. And God wants you to connect at the point that he tells you to step into his will and join him. His will is always happening. He does have a plan and a purpose for your life, but his will is always happening. So don't ask, what is God's will for my life? Ask, what is God's will? And what is my plan and purpose? How do I connect with that will? Because watch what Paul says. Paul, here I am, Paul. Watch Paul step into the river. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And we know if we go back and read in Acts, he was called, Acts chapter 9, if you want to read that. He was called by Jesus by the will of God. God's will was being done when Paul was answered the call to be an apostle because Paul was a murderer. He was someone that was arresting Christians. He was beating people down, locking them up, tearing up families, and having people arrested and killed for the name of Jesus Christ. And yet God calls him now to be an apostle because of God's will was that Paul would be his apostle. Paul's trying to run from him. Paul's trying to fight him. And yet God's will is, Paul, you're going to be mine and you're going to be a preacher to the Gentiles, an apostle to the Gentiles. It was God's will that Paul do this. Paul fought him at every corner, and some of you are fighting God at every corner too. Did you know that? When God said, this is my will that you not steal, and some of you just can't help stealing. God says, this is my will that you love one another. You can't help running your mouth and murmuring and gossiping about other people. God says, this is my will that the church will be one, united under the banner of Jesus Christ. You say, yeah, but. You're filling in blanks. You understand what I'm saying? When God says, this is my will that you love one another. This is my will. This is my bride. This is my family. This is who I have left here on earth. That actually you show love. And I'm going to show you faith, hope, and love. It comes from the Word of God. That we can actually see the very book in the book of Colossians that we should follow the will of God. Now, your plan of purpose is important. But the will of God trumps your plan of purpose. Do you understand? It's actually all part of one big program. Watch this. I want you to see how God has it working. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren, or Christians in Christ, who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you have heard, and the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, verse 6, which has come to you as it is also in all of the world and is bringing forth fruit, and it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. We'll keep going. Of course, this is part of his greeting. He's just doing an introduction. When we sign our letters at the end of a letter, Paul, and during this time, the custom was to put your name up front. Who is it coming from, right? Sometimes you got to go through the pages, and sometimes in church we get anonymous letters. And I have to share with you, if you write me an anonymous letter, I'll throw it in the trash can. I don't even read it. If I get a letter from someone, I look at the end to see if they signed it. If you didn't sign it, I throw it in the trash. Why? Why? Because usually if you don't sign it, what does it mean?
Well, I just want to tell you something. I want to share my heart with you, right?
Not the heart of Christ. You want to share your heart, your sinful heart. And the Bible says your heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, right? So when someone starts out, Pastor, I just want to share my heart with you. Share the heart of Christ with me. Tell me what Jesus is saying to you. Then we can celebrate. Amen? We can come together when you start telling me, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did in my life. Let me tell you what Jesus has done. Let me tell you what he's motivated. Pastor, I believe we've got to start this new ministry because Jesus has put this in my heart. Now we're going somewhere because Jesus is always first. Jesus is always supreme. If you come up with it yourself, because when I first got here, everybody used to say, Pastor, we should do this ministry. Pastor, we should do this ministry. And I was running like a chicken with my head cut off trying to figure out, how do we do this? And how do we do this? So-and-so wants to do this. And then I realized, listen, wait a minute. What does God say? And so people started coming up saying, Pastor, we should do this ministry. I said, God bless you. You're now the director of that ministry. Go do it. Well, those ministries stopped. No more recommendations for ministry. People waited on leadership to go forward and to actually do what God had laid on the leadership's heart to do. And by the way, if you're praying for your preacher, you want a better preacher. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you want a better preacher, pray for one. Would you agree? If you pray for a better preacher, I'm going to preach better. And God, it might even move me to another location. You might get a beautiful, handsome young man, skinny and tall and good looking and good preacher. All right? But until now, you got me, so pray for me, right? Watch what the Word of God says. This is awesome how God brings us together. Truth number one, Paul greeted the saints and the faithful Christians who lived in Colossae with the grace and peace of God. He greeted the saints and the faithful Christians. Aren't they the same thing? The answer is yes. He's using two titles. So many of us have sinned so hard in our life. We've been through so much trauma. We have a hard time with, who are the saints? If you come from a Catholic background, was this someone that had been canonized by the Catholic Church? Obviously not. This is someone that the Coptic Church, when in Canada, the Coptic Christians really, they pray to the saints. They get a list of all the diseases and hurts that you might have in life, and they pray to that saint. They still trust in Jesus, they say, but we trust in Jesus, but we pray to saint whatever to actually get this ill taken care of. They're doing the same thing that the church at Colossae was happening. They're taking Jesus plus something. A lot of people are praying to angels today. I just want to pray to my guardian angel to take care of me. Listen, angels are ministering spirits, and I believe you have a guardian angel that's taking care of business for you. But listen, I have a God who is the Holy Spirit, who the Bible says, when I become a Christian, when I give my life to Jesus Christ, he lives in me and around me to protect me. Now, do I need angels? I don't know what all their functions are, but listen, I don't pray to angels, and I don't even thank Gabriel for being Gabriel, right? He's doing the will of God because he did what God said to do. Lucifer, who was created an angel, listen, he disobeyed God. He's now, we call him the devil. So I don't pray to angels, and you shouldn't pray to angels either. Listen, if you're praying to angels today, you're sinning against the holy God. If you're praying to other saints today, you're sinning against the holy God. People say, well, I just wear the St. Christopher around my neck just for safety. And I've told you what I've done to my Catholic friend. When I first became a Christian, I didn't know any better. I was pretty aggressive. I was in the military. We're going to the gym to work out. Yes, I used to work out, believe it or not. Everything just up here just went here. And so we're riding one morning. I'm telling him about my newfound faith. And he says, listen, I have this. He has this glued plastic St. Christopher on his dash. I said, what is that for? He says, "That I bought that from the church because that protects me. It provides protection when I travel and when I'm in the car. It provides protection." And I'm like, Mark, and his name was Mark Garcia. I still love the man. Hadn't talked to him in forever and a day. Hopefully he'll listen on the internet and he'll give me a call and we can make contact again. But here's what I want you to understand. When I was up there, I just reached out and I said, Mark, listen, it's by faith in Jesus Christ alone that you're protected. Everything's about Jesus Christ. That little piece of plastic on your dash is worth nothing. He's like, don't talk about my saint. And I'm telling you, just protect him. And I reached up and I just thumped him, right? I thumped the plastic saint into the defrost. And he's always wrecking, trying to get him out of the defrost. And I'm like, look, that little piece of plastic can't even protect you from me. What can it protect you from the devil or any other forces that are out there? It means nothing. It's a trinket sold to you by someone who lied to you. It means nothing whatsoever other than it's a molded piece of plastic, because we as humans, we like to worship things. We love to put things first in our life, don't we? We love to take out your smartphones real quick. Everybody, I know you have them. Take them out. And look at the back of it. I'm telling you, I believe this with all of my heart, especially if you have an iPhone. Even if you have like Don Lemon's, that old flip phone that Don has, that little breaker. You know, he's still back. We aggravate Don all the time. Don, I have to tell you this as a church. If Don calls you like a bunch of times and he doesn't answer when he calls you, it's because he's probably sitting on his phone. He's called me 7 times this week. He doesn't even know it. So his phone is not a smartphone. All right? I've said, hello, Don, what's up? Hello, brother. And I hear crackling noise. You don't even know this. I haven't even told you this morning. He's called me at least 7 times this week. Look on the back of your phone. If you have an iPhone, hold it up. I'm telling you that Apple is a bit, I think it actually is symbolic of our sin. And our need and desire to put idols and images first. Because I'm telling you, listen, church, I am so concerned about this for all of us. We have a Facebook page. We have a social media presence. We want to share the gospel through that means, any means out there. But I want you to understand this. If we spend more time on that than we do the Word of God, listen, I'm telling you, it's leading us to sin and far from God. If people are spending time, they're catching up with old boyfriends and girlfriends. Oh, this used to be my girlfriend. I'm just going to say, hey. And that's how marriages are breaking up. All kind of crazy things are happening because of social media. So my challenge to you is this. I'm not preaching against social media, because I'm telling you, we have a presence on social media. Ask God how much that you should be on that phone. Young people, listen, you guys are traumatized by those phones. It's changing the way people are thinking. They go to a restaurant out to eat today or to Walmart. Look at kids. Mama has a babysitter constantly, and they're doing this. It leads you far, far from God. It becomes an idol. Just beware. That's my public service announcement on your smartphone or your pad or whatever, computer, whatever it might be. I want you to see this in truth number one here in the Word of God. Go back to verses 1 and 2. Paul greeted the saints and the faithful Christians who lived in Colossae with the grace and peace of God. Have you struggled calling yourself a saint of God? Let's do it together. All right. You ever seen Little Rascals? I, state your name. Don't state your name, okay? So let's do it together. I'm going to say I. And I'm going to say my name, and you say your name. Ready? Clint Smith is a saint of God. So therefore, refer to me as Saint Clint. No, your name. Try it again. My name is Clint Smith. I'm going to make it a little more formal this time. My name is Clint Smith. Fill your name in. I am a saint of God. So therefore, when you refer to me as St. Clint Smith. How hard is that for people to do? They're like, right? Because we know that we're sinners, and we really haven't fully settled down. Let the cross of Jesus Christ settle down into our inmost beings, because we know that we've sinned, and we think saints don't sin, right? mean, because we got this picture of a saint, because we've saw all kind of idols, we've written by all kind of architecture work, and we say, wow, that's an awesome saint of God, or we read about Saint Christopher, we read about all these different saints. Listen, when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, the Bible says very clearly, you've become a saint of the living God. Isn't that awesome? He has made you like Jesus. He's taken you from that old ragged, wretched self that you were, a worm. The Bible, we used to sing, we're just such a worm as I. He's taken you from that raggedy old who you used to be, and he's made you all brand new, a new creation in Christ, like Jesus Christ. So whenever you talk to God, you're not talking to him as that raggedy old who you used to be. You're talking to him as the born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, blood-bought saint of God, and a child of God. God, when I talk to you today, I can talk to you directly. You can do the same thing because a saint of God, whatever you picture as saints, listen, I want you to see, listen, perfection and holiness that comes in our life. Are you perfect? Absolutely not. There's one part of you that is perfect, by the way. Just a small part of you, wherever the Holy Spirit resides. I don't know where he lives, right? We talk about heart, but that really means the inmost being, who you are. The intestines is probably a better word, so I think he lives in your stomach, right? Maybe your head. Wherever he lives in you, that's perfect. But the rest of you is still the sinner. And there's this war that happens daily. The flesh wars against the spirit. So when someone comes into our church and says, hey, listen, the pastor really preaches the Bible, and I really do love that about the church. I want to be a member of this church. Yes, I give my heart to Jesus. Yes, I've been baptized, and I love the teaching. Hey, pastor, I'd like to teach a class. I'd like to teach a class. And we wait 6 months. They wait 6 months, and they're patient. And then they start teaching a class. And they goes, guys, I know the pastor preaches about Jesus, and now that I have the podium, I want to tell you something more. Listen, I found out in my spiritual life, it's Jesus plus, and then they start telling you what other plus is. If that's happening in any of your groups, because I'm not in all your groups, if that happens in your life group or intentional discipleship group, please, as quick as you can, text me, call me, and listen, let me know, because we're going to put a stop to it. If they tell you Jesus plus anything, they're lying to you. They're bringing in the same process that's happening in the Church of Colossae. It was Jesus, 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 and they were sweet. Sweetest name I know. They were singing, right, together. And then along come these guys who infiltrated the church, and they started saying Jesus plus circumcision, Jesus plus the law, Jesus plus you can't work on Sunday, Jesus plus, and they kept bringing in all these other, slowly, they didn't come in attack. And I want to tell you, the devil always comes multifaceted at you. He will never come in the front and go, boo! He never does that. He's always subtle. He always wants to come in quietly. Did Jesus, just like he did in the garden, right? Did God really say you shouldn't eat of that tree? Or any tree in the garden? No, God said we can eat anything but that one, right? The one in the middle. That's the way he does today. Do you really have confidence that it's Jesus only? Wouldn't you feel better if you could just serve the poor? If you could give a little extra money to this cause or feed those poor, starving children far off, wouldn't you feel better when you see that commercial on TV if you just send a little money to the SPCA and a little money to the African nation people, and if we send a little money to China and we just do what you can do to make you feel better and say, ah, I finally have arrived. I'm telling you, you've missed it if that's what you're doing. Because I'm telling you, I stand here today based on the Word of God, it's Jesus, 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 and Jesus alone. Amen? Jesus only. No matter how you feel, it's Jesus. If you feel good, it's Jesus. If you feel bad, it's Jesus. Right? If you feel confused, it's Jesus. The answer to us today as fallen human beings is Jesus. And when you give your heart and life to Jesus, listen, I want to tell you, you've been made new. When you don't feel like it, go back to the Word of God. And the Word of God will tell you, it's Jesus. When you go, you don't feel like it, you pray, God, I don't feel like this today. I feel unclean. It's Jesus. Confess your sins, right? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful just to cleanse us from our unrighteousness, our sins, right? And he makes us how? Like new. It's not that you get saved again. It's just he wants you to keep short accounts. He already knows your sin. He wants you to say about your sin what he says about your sin, that it's sin. And he says, don't do it anymore. Go and sin no more. Look in Scripture when Jesus walked around. All right, watch this. God wants you to fully exercise your faith through his grace and peace. The grace of God, we've always said for children, we can understand God's riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. God's riches, the best thing he had in heaven was Jesus, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. He sent his only begotten son to earth. He really sent, if you look and study, God came to earth as a man. How? Right? I can explain it to you. I can explain all of God to you. I believe what the Word of God says. He came. He took on flesh just like we have. Incarnate. He came in flesh. He was 100% man, yet he was still 100% God. He died on the cross, and he really did die. He really was, listen, he died for your transgressions. He died for your sins and my sins. He really did die. He really was put in a tomb, a borrowed tomb, by the way, because he knew he wasn't going to use it long. Amen? He'd already said it was going to be 3 days. I'm done with this thing, so I'll just borrow it. He was crucified like a criminal, yet he was buried in a rich man's tomb. Just what the prophecies had said. The prophets had said that would happen. He knew he was only going to be there 3 days. 3 days, he rose again. God raised him from the dead. Listen, and he's alive today forevermore. Amen? So we can have that firm faith in Jesus Christ, that we can exercise his grace. He gave us Jesus. When we were poor, wretched, no goods, he gave us Jesus. So today we have, listen, we should celebrate that because he gave us Jesus. Amen? And then he comes back and says, Paul greets him with the grace and the peace of God. And we talk about the peace of God. The scripture talks about the peace of God that passes all understanding. How can you have that? When you look at faces, when I stand up here and look at your faces today, some of you look sleepy. Some of you look sad. Some of you look hungry. There's only a few of you that look joyful. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what my week's been like. I don't. I don't know what your life's been, how much pain you're in. But listen, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Would you agree? The Word of God, Nehemiah says that. So when I look at you, listen, when I meet you on the street, John just mentioned it. How many of you lied this morning in church? Right? How are you doing this morning? Liars, right? My finances are out of order. My car broke down. My back's killing me, right? We don't want to shower that on each other. I'm dealing with some stuff, but listen, it's a good day to be in the Lord. Amen? It's go back to Jesus. When you can't see anything good at all, go back to Jesus. Jesus is good. He's still on his throne. He hadn't forsaken me yet, right? And here's a little hint. Let me lean in. Let me tell you this. He will never forsake you nor leave you. Good word? For the Word of God, amen. I'm glad three of you think that's a good word. God bless you. God still desires faithful Christians to live out their faith before a watching world today. People are watching you. They want to know. If you look sour like you just recovered from hookworm disease, my former pastor used to say, right? Or lemon treatment. Not Don Lemon treatment because he's always smiling and Ellen's always smiling. But I'm talking real lemon treatment. If you look like you're recovering from that, you never smile, you never have a kind word to say, you're always griping and complaining. Nobody, here's a hint, listen, here's a word for you. Nobody wants to be around you. And your witness stinks for Jesus. And furthermore, you need to check and see if you belong to Jesus. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And joy is simply this, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and then myself, yourself. We want to put myself first, yourself first. We want to come to a place where it's all about me. It comes right here. I want to settle it here. Fix me first. Give it to me first. Front of the line first. Then if I had this, I can go out there and do that. If you have Jesus, 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 Jesus. I'm telling you, listen, this is what Paul's trying to tell the church at Colossae. It's Jesus only. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It comes from knowing Jesus and from exercising his word. But if you're griping and complaining and murmuring, listen, you're going to face the judgment of God. Amen. That's a good place for amen. You're going to give an account for every word that you say. That's a good place for an amen. Come on. Amen means yes, yes, that's true. Let's try it again. If you're griping, murmuring, complaining, you're always got negative things to say. You're going to give an account for that. Amen. You are. If you have nothing good to say about anybody, if you talk about against the Christ, against his body, guess what would happen? If you talked against my wife, you come up and said something ugly to my wife, you pushed her, shoved her down. I'm telling you, I'm a pastor, but I would hit you in the mouth. I'm telling you, don't mess with my wife. Amen? She's my wife. For better, for worse. For richer, for poor. Till death do us part, she's my wife. If you mess with her, you've messed with me, and really, you've messed with my boys and my daughter, right? You brought on the wrath of the Smith clan, and you're going to get some cousins and some uncles thrown in there. You're going to get a mess, right? But here's the deal. None of us start thinking about, if you start griping in the house of God, you start murmuring against the bride of Christ. What if I told Jesus, I think your wife's ugly, right? On your wife. When you gripe about other Christians in the faith family, listen, that's what you're doing. You're spitting in the face of God saying, your wife, the bride of Christ, is useless. Means nothing to me. I am better than your bride. I am better than the church because I don't like it, therefore I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do what they say because, listen, I know better. That's what these men were doing. They were coming into Colossae. They were coming in. Hey, listen, guys, it's not just Jesus. Epaphras, listen, Pastor Epaphras, he don't know everything. He thinks he knows everything. He's run off to go tell Paul. What's he going to do? Well, who's Paul? We've never even met Paul before. And Paul writes this letter. Paul, an apostle of God, by the will of God, right? I'm writing you by the authority. Paul didn't open every letter if you go and read. He doesn't start out with, I am. He don't tell you his credentials all the time. Only when he has to flex his spiritual authority does he do this. And in this case, he had to flex his authority. And these men were here, and they have to take care of business. And listen, please be on note here. Please listen carefully. Lean in just for a moment. If you've come to Town Creek Baptist Church and you want to start trouble, this is the bride of Christ. This is not my church. This is not your church. But if you're going to murmur against the bride of Christ, just as I would smack you in the mouth for talking to my wife, I'm going to smack you in the mouth for talking about Lord Jesus Christ's bride. Amen? Wouldn't you expect me to stand up and say, if you're going to murmur against the people of God, then get out. Amen? That should have been a big amen right there. If you're going to murmur and speak against the people of God, then get out. You're counting his bride as rubbish. You're saying his bride does not matter. Well, they think different than I do. We've agreed in here, if you join this church, we've agreed to disagree without being disagreeable, have we not? That's our covenant together. We said, we will disagree, but we won't be disagreeable. And as soon as you go out there or in here, and you're disagreeable against the family of God, listen, you've stirred up trouble just like these people did in Colossae, and I want you to know, I might not have called you yet, but I'm coming. All right? Listen, that's not a threat. I'm not a dictator. I am an under-shepherd under the head shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And he said, listen, serve my flock. When I answered a call to the ministry, I didn't answer a call to be a bully. I didn't want anyone to come into the ministry. I didn't want to deal with people. I didn't. But God has called me to be an under-shepherd under the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you come in and mess with our sheep, listen, I'm going to shoot you, right? I'm going to throw rocks, whatever, David. I'm going to get out the sling. I'm going to do whatever it takes to defend the family of God, the flock of God. I'm going to do whatever it takes to defend this flock. Would you expect anything different from your staff, from your shepherds? Just be on notice. Social media, just be on notice. When you talk about it in your classroom, just be on notice. And anyway, we will not tolerate murmuring in the house of God here at 250 Town Creek Road anymore. Is that clear? It's not because we're bullies. It's because this is God's house. You are God's people. You are the sheep of his flock. Don't you want someone to love you? Don't you want someone to care for you? You know Jesus does. But we said, well, I can't touch Jesus. That's why he sent us each other. I love you enough. And I've always said, listen, I'll say it till I'm dead. Listen, if someone comes and says something bad against you, I'm going to say, stop, don't talk like that. I always expect the best out of somebody. I always expect the best. Listen, don't come and tell me how bad my brother, my sister is in Christ. If there's a problem, obviously you've got to go to them quietly. You go directly to them is what the Word of God said. He wrote a prescription for this. He said, go to them quietly. If they won't hear you, take two or three witnesses that they love, and that not because we're bullies, go to them quietly. Then it comes before the church. But then it's still out of love. It's not out of bully. But we should be passionate about this. Don't you love me enough to tell me the truth? Shouldn't I love you enough to tell you the truth? Look around. Don't you look left and right. Shouldn't you love each other enough to tell each other the truth and hold each other accountable in the love of Jesus Christ? Stuff don't matter. People do. Every number of people have a name. Every name has a soul, and every soul's going to spend eternity somewhere. When you speak against a brother or sister in Christ like these dipsticks did in the book of Colossians, listen, it turns people from Jesus, not to Jesus. You cannot expect to get lemon juice squirted in your mouth and go, that's delicious. Does anyone like lemons? I know some people do. Does anyone eat lemons? You're weird people, right? Something's wrong with your taste buds, but that's okay. There's a few. That's a bad example. Hookworms. Anybody like hookworms? Tapeworms. That's what's happening here. Listen, don't act like you're recovering from that. Act like you love Jesus Christ. When someone sees you, who do they see? Jesus, because when God sees you, guess who God sees? The blood of Jesus Christ. He loves you. He loves me, but he loves his church that much. He will not compromise because you, I'll tell you what I think, right? That is plain stupidity. Amen? If the pastor's in wrong and error, listen, and I've made a bunch of mistakes in the last 7 years, right? Since I've been the pastor here. You don't have to amen that. That's a good place for an amen. But here's the deal. I own up to them. I say sorry when I know how. And if I offended you, listen, and I don't know about it, I want you to come to me after church and tell me. I will tell you, man to man, woman to woman, child to pastor, teenager, that I'm sorry because I love you. If I've done anything, I've erred in the trot to the right, saying this is not right, let's get right. The Word of God says this. Listen, in truth number two, Paul expressed thanksgiving to God, and he prayed for the church at Colossae. You can't come to my wife and say, "Wow, you look pretty today," and, "Well, Christine, her, she absolutely just drives me crazy." Can you do this? You can do it. Listen, should we do it? Thank you, Steve. You're the only one that... We should not do that. This is the bride of Christ. We should love her, right? Us. Look around. It's not this stinking building. This is just concrete and steel. We don't give two hoots about this other than God gave it to us. We must take care of it, right? But it's just a building. This is who we care about, who we love. We used to say usins when I was a kid. It's usins. It's us. It's the body of Christ. Paul expressed thanksgiving to God and prayed for the church. Are you praying for the church today? God still wants you to be thankful. We've heard in church reports that churches are on decline. At the Southern Baptist Convention, we heard all these woes of churches are dying. And we know it's happening around the world. But something's happening else. Preachers won't speak the truth in love. They won't take, this is thus saith the word of God, and there's no compromise, the end. A lot of churches that are growing and they're having a show. We could dim all the lights down black and have these. Wendy and I went to a church. We were in St. Louis. They had a big swirly light that was going on, and I was getting motion sick. I'm holding on to the people. I was like, "Wendy, I'm going to have to walk out. I'm getting sick to my stomach because of the swirls." It was a concert of sorts. It wasn't a bad church. It was just, we won't have strobe lights because I can't be able to stand up here. We're not going to put on a show. We come to worship an audience of one today. When we sang, the people who sang up here, some people say, "Well, I don't like the music, Pastor." I don't care. I mean, we want to do it with excellence, right? But it was not for you, just so you know, this morning. The service was not designed. Oh, I hope they like that. I hope they come back next Sunday. When we come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, we worship an audience of one. Some people even come to a place, "Well, I just won't tithe. I'm going to hold my tithe, and I'm not going to give anything to church." Who cares? That's between you and the Lord, right? Is that between you and the Lord? It doesn't make a hill of beans, right, if you don't tithe to me. You say, "Well, you won't get a salary." I'll get a job. Right? Would you agree? That's called bivocational preachers. If we ever get to that point, we'll sell the property. This is just dirt, steel, and mortar. Would you agree? Why argue over stuff that doesn't matter? This is going to crumble. This is going to be burnt up with fire one day. Amen? Everything's going to get lit up. There's not going to be a great flood again. There's going to be a great fire. Peter talks about. This is just stuff. What matters is you. What matters is your children. What matters is our friends and neighbors that are lost. We have 25,000 people within 3 miles of this church. Can we reach them like this? Do what I do. Can we reach them like that? We reach them like this. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Listen, you must be born again. The gospel truth is the gospel truth. It's good news. And I got to tell you the good news with joy. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Tell you what I'd do. What would you rather have? Who'd you rather eat with? Average Baptist. I'm against it. Y'all know what that means? That's Georgia for I'm against it. I'm against it. When do people come to vote at churches? When we're bringing new staff on, when we're voting on the budget. You ever been in those Baptist churches? I can't speak for the Methodist, Presbyterians, and all that. But the Baptists, when I was a kid, every time there was something that was quote-unquote controversial, it was a full house. All in favor? All opposed? It's because they were against it, right? They had about that much spirituality, right? You wouldn't see them again for dirt until it was the next time for a big vote. That's another subject. Let's keep going. God wants us today to express our thanksgiving for his church, his body, and his bride. God knows times can get difficult, and he wants us to encourage one another in the faith. I want to encourage you this morning. I want you to be scolded when you leave out of here. Walk out here saying, "Listen, I can be more like Jesus because of Jesus, not because of Pastor Clint," right? But I hope I can encourage you and listen and say, "You did a good job. Missy, you did a good job singing this morning. Listen, youth, I'm proud of you for what you did at camp. I know the friendships that you're making. Mackenzie's at a camp this week. She got called to FCA leadership camp, all-girls sports camp. Y'all pray for her. She's up there leading out. We've already seen some pictures. She's up front leading. God's using our young people. God's using people in our church to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to Mississauga again. Guys, I don't want to ride on another plane, another car. I'm sick of traveling. I hate driving. I hate flying. And hate is a big word, but that's the mean word I mean. I can't stand it. But yet when I get to my destination, I can't not love them. But it's coming to the point that we have done. We have Hitchcock House Nursing Home on top of the hill. Last week we had 18. Brother Martin was up there. I was up there. There was 18 people there listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Eddie John Longshore was there. I know that boy. John, good to see you. I hadn't seen you forever today. I used to love Mr. Longshore from a long time back. Harbor Chase, listen, three of the people there have died. We got word that they passed away. And the directors at both places said this might be the last time and only time these people hear about Jesus Christ before they pass on to eternity. Which of you want to volunteer and come and be a part of that? Listen, I'm telling you, that's some good stuff. But we're running out of time. I don't have enough time. I can't be at Harbor Chase. Brother James, he's over there. Harbor Chase. And then we got Hitchcock. And then we have good news. Listen, we got Goodwill during the week. Sometimes it's only a couple people. They just lost someone. Someone just passed away. Listen, people need to know about Jesus Christ. Jesus, 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 and Jesus alone. Amen? You can't sit back and say, well, I ain't got time. I don't have time. Dolly asked me last week. She said, you're working with the kids. How do you have time to study? I said, that's why this gray hair, no hair is coming in, right? Late nights. Late nights. It takes a lot of effort for the people of God because it's God's people. Are you worth it? Come on, talk to me. Are you worth it? Yes, because you're a saint of the living God. You're a sheep in his flock. You're a member in his family. Yes, you're worth it. But so is the person to your left and right. It's not your family member directly by blood. They're worth it. Are those people at Harbor Chase worth it? Are those people at Hitchcock House worth it? Goodwill Chapel, are they worth it? The mission, are they worth it? Then who's going? God didn't have special green berets that he sends in to do this. He has people who are faithful. He said, well, Pastor, I don't know enough. If you know John 3:16, listen, sometimes, if you've ever heard Harbor Chase, when we sing the songs we used to sing as children, it makes a difference. We sing Jesus Loves Me, they want to sing it over and over again because it's the truth in their heart. Even some that are asleep, we start singing Jesus Loves Me, and they'll jump right in and sing right with us and then get right back. The connection of the gospel is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lastly, truth number three. Paul celebrated the faith, hope, and love that the church in Colossae experienced. He celebrated it. Can you hold your place there and let's go to 1 Corinthians? I want you to see this. I won't read it all, but I want to encourage you. We often read this. It's gotten relegated. You know, some like Psalm 23 got relegated to funerals. The Lord is my shepherd, right? We quote it. Read it. For funerals, it's an important place at funerals if the Lord was your shepherd. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, he's not your shepherd. He didn't cause you to lie down in green pastures. You're going to go to hell. Amen? You leave this world and go to torture. You're tortured here, and then you're tortured for eternity. Guys, and I'm going to be preaching very soon on hell. We're going to do a series on hell, that hell, because I hear too many preachers say this, that's a lie, and I've even said it because I heard it growing up. That's a lie from the pits of where? Hell. But listen, I want to tell you, that's not even true. Hell is holy. Hell is a holy place. Well, I've never thought about that. God created hell as ultimate judgment for people who rebel against him. Hell is holy. I want you, and that's the sermon series we're going to be doing. Hell and heaven are holy. But I want you to think about that. Listen, the judgment that God puts people there is because they refused his son, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's righteous judgment of a holy God. He created hell. It's a holy place. But I want you to see this. This is what's been relegated to weddings. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul goes in and talks about speaking with tongues of angels. He talks about all this great stuff. He's kind of puffing his chest up. He said, if I can do all this stuff, but I don't have love, I have what? Nothing. And look at verse 13. I'll just finish with this. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is what? Love. And what does he even talk about to the Colossian church here? That's the Corinthian church, was a knucklehead church. We joke, there's a church in town named Corinth. What a dumb name for a church, just saying, okay? They were a knucklehead church. Any churches in named Corinth, that's a crazy, who would do, I'd change the name. If I was the pastor, we're going to change the name today, right? Corinth Baptist Church or Corinth Methodist, that's not a good name. The Corinthians were knuckleheaded people, but they still were the church of God. They were written letters of instruction how to change, and here we find it. Listen, faith, hope, and love. To the church of Colossae, guess what he writes? Faith, hope, and love. Let's go back to Colossians. I want you to read 1 Corinthians 13 on your own time, if you would, if you make notes. God wants us to celebrate our eternal hope found only in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And God wants us to produce fruit that comes from being gospel-centered people of the King. Here's my questions. Are you exercising your faith in grace and peace of God? And what I mean is, are you celebrating Jesus? Because here's the key. Watch, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. He came to earth to die on a cross for you and for me. And some people say, I just wish I had the peace like you're talking about, peace that passes understanding. You can't have the peace without having the peacemaker. His name is what? It comes back to Jesus. If you got a sin problem, who do you get right with? Jesus. If you're lost, who do you come back to? Jesus. Or come to. He's got to draw you to himself. You come to Jesus. If you get caught up in sin as a Christian and you want to be forgiven, what do? You confess your sins to Jesus. 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 Listen, I'm telling you, there's no sweeter name I know than the name of Jesus. The only name by which you can be saved, forgiven of your sins, have a direct access to heaven. And the Bible says he's your advocate in heaven. He's your lawyer. Think about having a lawyer like Jesus. He knows everything. He knows everything about you. And he knows about your future. He knows your past. He knew when you were born, before you were born. He knows when you're going to die. And he stands there before God. And then when Satan, the Bible says Satan still condemns us before God. He says, look what Clint did. Look what Clint did. And Judge Jesus stands there and goes, I died for that. I died for that. My blood covers that. I died for that. The devil's a dipstick, isn't he? He can't win. He don't even realize he can't win. He cannot win. Jesus has died for our sins. And every time he tries to bring us before God the Father and say and condemn us, Jesus just says, I died for him. I died for that. Think how many millions of times covers that. Covers that sin. The grace of God. And then when we here on earth know that he's taking care of business in heaven, and then we here on earth, we go, well, the times are troubling. Listen, Muslim this and Muslim that. Guess what? In order to get a Muslim to stop blowing people up, guess what you should do? Share Jesus with them, right? Would you agree? They're listening. In Canada, we had an opportunity on the university setting of just finally engaging with Muslims about Jesus Christ. And by the way, our God is not their God, and our Jesus is not their Jesus, okay? Get that clear. The Jesus of the Bible is not the Jesus of the Quran. The Jesus of the Bible is the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me, says Jesus. Isn't it amazing? It's all about Jesus. That could have been my whole sermon today. We could have got here in 2 seconds, couldn't it? Jesus, 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 right? That's the only way to heaven. That's the only way to be forgiven of sins. That's your advocate who stands in heaven. And listen, faith, hope, and love, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whose name is Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have what? Everlasting life. The Bible says God is love, 1 John. Listen, this is good news. God demonstrated his love for us that while we were yet sinners, what did he do? Jesus died for us. It's no brainer. Yet it's so easy, yet so hard. And all he wants to do is he wants to draw you to himself. Say, listen, would you receive the forgiveness of sins that I offer you? Jesus has died for your sins. Jesus is inviting you to come be a part of his life and receive his free gift of salvation. He says, listen, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Even when you leave me and forsake me, it's all about Jesus. Let me pray. Father, this morning we know the answer. We can recite everything I said. Almost everybody in this room could tell the same story. It's all about Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, God's holy Son. And Father, this morning as we talk to you, we know that we have access to you through Jesus' blood on the cross. There's nothing I can do. Even like in the book of Colossians, we'll see as in the future chapters, people are saying it's Jesus plus something else. You have to do something special to become a Christian. You have to do something special to get God's favor. And Father, your word's very clear. Paul wrote it down. Jesus said it. It's very clear. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the truth. There's nothing else to add besides my faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say you even do the work of calling us to yourself, and we must respond. Some people have responded with yes. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And some people responded with no, I want to wait. I just want to process through this. And Father, we know that waiting is the same as no. And some people have said, yes, I want to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. And they've done that. And some are doing that. And I pray for my brothers and sisters that have given their life to Christ, that Father, you would strengthen them and encourage them to be people of joy, people who actually encourage others, people that are outreaching, not enfolding to themselves, people that are reaching their arms out so that they might win many for Jesus Christ. Father, today, may we be people of the book. May we read the Word of God. May we be like the Church of Colossae when it started. And Father, may we as pastors, like Epaphras, Lord, in Colossians, he was preaching and he was teaching, he was doing his best. And yet these teachers crept in as the church grew. Lord, never let that be so at Town Creek Baptist Church. We know it's happened in the past. Father, for our future, your future, Lord, let us be a lighthouse, a beacon for Jesus Christ at 250 Town Creek Road from here to around the globe. And we mean that, Father, globally, that you would use us to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Call many from the pews to the pathways. Call many, Lord, from sitting here to going there. And there might be across the street, but going there might also be around the world. Father, let us never get used to sitting here and being comfortable. Let us never get used to being here and, Father, dealing with these temporal things. Let us focus on eternity. Let our families be focused on eternity. Because we know that we have eternal life in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. What love you've given us. What a Savior you are. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.